This blog is going to be God or Godliness, what are you seeking? God or Godliness, what are you seeking? And just to start with, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And in Galatians 5, we'll look at starting with verse 22. Every Christian is familiar with this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we see two things there. We see God in terms of the Holy Spirit, and we see godliness in terms of fruit that comes out of Him. But the fruit of the Spirit, see, it doesn't say the fruit of the Christian. It doesn't say the fruit of following Jesus or any of those things. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And so there's a division there. There's a division. There's a difference between God there and what God produces. In this case, the Spirit and what He produces. But the verse goes on, because a lot of times we are seeking to be godly. We're seeking to be a certain Christian way. We're seeking certain attributes. We're seeking certain virtues. We're seeking things to be built into us. We could call it character traits, but see, these are not character traits here. These are the fruit of the Spirit. They may come out of us as character traits, but really it's God at work in us. It's not us, and it's not meant to be us. And the proof of that is the very next verse, which most people who know the scripture on the fruit of the Spirit don't know the next verse, verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And so there is the there's the cross, always the cross. Always, if there's going to be these attributes, they come by God Himself. They come by the Spirit, or they come by the life of Christ. And before that can happen, there has to be a death. And that death is us. We were crucified with Christ. And so they that are Christ have crucified. And so He starts talking about our... And the word lust there is your normal word, actually, in the Greek for desires. It is dying to all of the desires that we have. And I know that would be, you know, we would go, well, of course, that's talking about all the bad things. But that's talking about anything that is not coming forth as a result of union with God in Christ. And so the cross is the thing that has brought about that union, that oneness. The cross brought oneness. Jesus didn't just become one with us magically somehow. He became one with us at the cross, and in resurrection, therefore, we were one with Him. And the scriptures declare that in Ephesians chapter 2. So to know Him at the cross is to know oneness. Okay, but see, you have to be careful with the way that things are said, because if we're not careful, we'll seek to know oneness at the cross instead of to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and therefore know us because we're one with Him. One is seeking Him, God, and the other one is seeking godliness, trying to work oneness, trying to get hold of oneness. Oneness is already done. It's already settled. Jesus did that. What we need to do is get hold of Him. And that's why our desires and our heart is after Jesus instead of after Christianity. I mean, I always freak people out with the way I talk, but, you know, I have no particular allegiance to Christianity. My allegiance is to Christ. My allegiance is to Jesus. I love Jesus, and I follow Jesus because I love him. And my heart is in this. You can, just like the Pharisees, I mean, they should have been following God, Jehovah God, but they were following the system. They were following the rules. They were following, trying to become something in and of themselves. And to understand the gospel is to understand that we're not going to figure this stuff out in ourselves at all. That's why there must be a death. That's why the cross must be applied to us. And then with that, we don't seek the work of God. We don't seek the work of Jesus at the cross, because to seek that is to seek something other than him. So we're seeking oneness instead of seeking him. But when you find him and you see that he's made you one, you find yourself, or you find oneness. You could say, as you look at his body hanging on that cross, you're seeking him, but one day you realize, oh my God, I'm crucified with Christ also. But you found that by seeking him and by seeing who he is, and who he is at the cross and is a lamb, and who he is now one with us, and better said, that we're one with him. To know, so to seek anything for myself apart from him is ridiculous, because the part that I would probably be seeking was put to death at the cross, and the part that I need to discover is right there himself. It is him. So, God or godliness, seeking God or godliness. So, if you have your Bible, I want to just look at 2 Peter chapter 1, if you'll go there. If I sound a little more official today, I'm sitting here in the room that I've spent the last huge amount of years of my life behind a pulpit preaching. So it doesn't feel like I'm in a little room, you know, doing a blog. It feels like I'm doing the same thing I've done day in and day out for most of my life. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse, well, let's read verse 2 through 9. But before we read it, I have a request. Close your eyes. No, not. Don't close your eyes. My request is that as we read this, try to separate it out. It's not just one thought. It is building. It is an incredible building, because Peter has even discovered, and this was written by Peter, Peter has even discovered that this leads to this, which leads to this. But we always just take one, we just look at one thing and we make it all one, and then we don't really understand the full picture. So we're going to read this and we're going to try to dissect it and walk through the word instead of just read a book. All right. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Okay. I hope somebody here is keeping track of time because I am not. Okay. All right, I'm gonna read this in a different version, and I'm going to do that just so maybe it can shake up some things within you. Grace and peace to you many times over as you deepen in your experience with God and Jesus our Master. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know and personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. The best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turned your back on the world corrupted by lust. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting into the developing the other. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. All right. So, grace and peace to verse 2. Here we go. Attributes, godliness or God. So, we want grace and peace. We read this scripture and we see that grace and peace only comes to us as we know Him. And see, we have to add to it all the things we've learned. As we know Him, the vine, that we have been made branches and we're put into Him. And we're not learning about grace and peace. It's multiplied as we know Him. That verse 2 says that. And then, so my translation is, grace and peace is only multiplied to you by knowing oneness with Jesus. This knowledge opens the door. verse 3 talks about His divine power. His, not our power. His divine power. His power, not our power, has granted us what? In verse 3. Everything. Everything that pertains to Cadillacs, everything that pertains to life and godliness. Oh, isn't that what we're talking about here? What are you seeking? God or godliness? Well, God is life, and when you have life, that will produce godliness. Godliness is a result of life. And He's given by His divine power that, and it goes on to explain how. but how does it come? By knowing the one we are joined to. By knowing the call. And it talks about a call here. What is the call? Called to His life and to His godliness. That's what we're called to. We're called to both of those, but we only seek one and let that produce the other. We seek Jesus. We seek life. We seek Him. We want Him. Our heart cries out for Him. See, if you're seeking for godliness, you're probably seeking with your head. If you're seeking Jesus, you're probably seeking with your heart because there's something in you driving you to Him, and the other is you're doing your duty, trying to grow in Bible knowledge or something. So let's just say it like this. There's no godliness without God. And if there is such a thing as godliness apart from God, then we're seeking, that's for sure not the right thing. All right, and then it talks about this comes about by His glory and His virtue. So my translation of that verse is, not personal consecration, but divine power has granted everything. that everything that pertains to life and godliness by means of us knowing that he has called us to gain them by means of entering into his glory and virtue and not our own. So basically just disarming us of seeking anything of our own, but to seek him and let him manifest through us as his body. All right. So verse 4, I'm just going to slip back up here. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, so by him offering us these things, boy, I better get going here. By him offering us these things through oneness with him, we gain the promises. By him offering these things, because he knows we're one with him, we gain the promises. But then it says, but it includes faith there. But by believing what God has promised, we gain the divine nature. Anybody see a progression here? Oh my God. At first, we have to know verse 2, and we have to know our oneness with him. And then we're beginning to know the divine promises by faith. And then by faith, we're beginning to understand that we have the divine nature. And then by gaining the divine nature, we gain victory over this corrupt world. It's just, I rest my case. No, I'm going to keep going. So my translation is, for by offering these by means of union into his life, he grants us to gain all the promises he's ever offered, so that by belief in these things, we might move from mere faith in him into partaking of the divine nature, which is God's method for escaping the corruption that's in the world. Where's the party? Where's the balloons? We should be rejoicing. There should be good stuff. Except Kelly said, don't say a word. Don't even breathe. All right, verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Verse 6. And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Isn't it funny that godliness is cropped up after a list of other things? That's because godliness is something that is produced by having certain other things at work in us. And we'll get into that as I get into the final translation here. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love or charity. Godliness. What is godliness? It's the attributes of the Lord. It is God in us, godliness, God in us. And what does that produce? Brotherly kindness. And it produces love. No, not human love, not that stupid attempt at caring, but it produces something that is eternal. It is God. God is love. It is producing more of the way that he is, and it's being pointed toward others now. It's not about me gaining godly attributes. It's not about me at all. It's first about him, and then it's about his life in us toward others. And it's a process, and it's a divine process. It's a divine power that brings about a divine nature, that brings about a divine manifestation, though it didn't say divine here on that point. All right. And then verse 8. For if these things be in you, it's not just talking about the things. It's talking about the process. But if these things be in you and abound, but it is talking about temperance and faith and patience and godliness and self-control at work by the divine nature. For if these things be in you and abound, and they're abounding, they make that They make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now I'll get my translation here in just a second. And then the last verse, and then I'm just going to, I think we're getting close to the end here, but the last verse says, but he that lacketh, so the verse we just read in verse 8 says, if this is working in you, you are going to be a bountiful field. You are going to have so much seed. You're going to have so much fruit. You'll never be barren. You got it all working in you, and it's Christ. But then verse 9 says, okay, but if you lack this stuff, if you lack, see, and he's saying manifestation does matter. Not early on, but eventually manifestation matters, and you can tell things. You'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their manifestation. But he that lacketh these things is, see, he's not evil. He that lacketh these things is not a backslidden. He that lacketh these things, because of the nature of the way these things have come about, he that lacketh these things is not evil or backslidden or all the things we would say. He's blind because he doesn't see Jesus. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, meaning cannot see a bigger picture. He just sees basically to the end of his nose and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. All right, so I'm just going to go over my translation of this. And when I say my translation, I sat upstairs this morning and I wrote this, and I didn't feel like the Spirit came on me and said, you are now a scribe for the kingdom of God, and therefore your translation should be better than all. Not even close. But I think it helps us to at least be open to what these scriptures are trying to say. I've done other translations, and I felt like some of those were, I just didn't have a time. I just did this real quick for this blog, so hopefully it'll bless you. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. Grace and peace is only multiplied to you by knowing oneness with Jesus. This knowledge opens the door. And the knowledge is not oneness, but the knowledge is Jesus and knowing ourselves in oneness with him. The knowledge will always be him. No, it has to be. Verse 3, not personal consecration, but divine power has grace. So it's important, not personal, not seeking godliness, not personal consecration, but not personal consecration, but divine power has granted everything that pertains to first life and then life producing godliness by means of us knowing that he has called us to gain them by means of entering into his glory and virtue, and not our own, not personal virtue, not becoming something in ourselves. Verse 4, for by offering us these by means of union into his life, he grants us to gain all the promises he's ever offered. By offering this union into life, he grants us to gain all the promises he has ever offered, so that by belief in these things, we might move from mere faith into partaking of the divine nature, which is God's method for escaping the corruption that is in this world. So, there is that building. Verse 4 is a really beautiful, really well laid out, well spoken by the Holy Spirit through Peter of this process of there is faith. But faith is in him and in what he has done in relationship to us, not just what he did on the cross, what he did in relationship to bringing us into himself. And therefore, everything is explained by that. And then verse 5, Now, based upon this reasoning, which is the mind of Christ, let us as branches gradually and in a practical manner gain the attributes that come from the divine nature. Because that's what in verse 5, it makes a shift. Now it's about, if this is true in him and you're in him, then it's true in you because he's in you. So let's see it work out of you. You see the attributes. You see the attributes. He describes them. You see the attributes, but they're coming from him. And they're coming from the cross. And they're coming from that oneness that it bought. So now, based upon this reasoning, let us as branches gradually and in a practical manner gain the attributes that come from the divine nature. Let our faith appropriate his virtue, and that virtue be joined with clear knowledge, and let that knowledge add self-control, and let it work in us to increase patience, and let these rest in our source, him, through whom we gain godliness. This was the next one in the line here. And as godliness, and when I wrote godliness, I wrote the word God, G-O-D in capitals. Godliness. So I wouldn't forget, not that I would, but some, that it is God. And as godliness increases, so it produces attributes of brotherly kindness and love. As godliness increases. For if these things are at work in you, see, you're starting to see this thing, this stuff coming out of you, or someone is starting to see this stuff coming out of you, for if these things are at work in you and are prevalent, it means you clearly are not, nor will be, barren or fruitless in knowing the Lord by his nature. Because that's what it's talking about, knowing the Lord by his nature. This isn't deep doctrines. This isn't talking about doctrinal truths of the cross that happened. And then, you know, when we know all mysteries, this is talking very simply about Christ being worked in us by his nature. And then finally, but if these attributes are not active in someone, it is proof that they are blind and cannot see deeply into Christ and forgotten that the cross purged him from the sin nature and its fruit. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we do long after you, Jesus. We long after you. There is that which is in us that is not satisfied. You are the only thing that satisfies, and yet we can't. We don't seem to have enough. We want more of you. We're going after you. Our heart is with you. And we ask that the Holy Spirit just help us not to explain 1 Peter 1, 2 through 9, but to work in us the realities of the cross and of the life of Christ so that we fulfill those scriptures whether we understand the order of them or not. Our heart is not after godliness for ourselves, it's after God. And Father, our heart is not after understanding sets of scripture. It is after knowing you by the Spirit through the Word. So open our hearts and draw us and let life produce all the other things that are mentioned in these verses. We love you. We love one another, brotherly kindness and love. We ask you to bless it all in Jesus' name. Amen.